for this day, we're going to press kind of the same direction that our morning studies went. We were talking about the power of God, and we're going to do the same thing here. We're going to talk about the power of God, and we're going to do it around a thought we're going to call unashamed. Unashamed. And I think probably one of the best ways, for me anyway, to understand what it means to be unashamed is to understand what it means to be ashamed. Right? And so here's what I am, and if I'm not this, then I'm unashamed. So let me just ask you, have you ever been ashamed? That's common to all of us, right? And we probably would not like to take time and tell those stories today. But the reality is, all of us have probably said something or didn't say something, or went somewhere or didn't go somewhere, did something or didn't do something that made us feel ashamed. Right? And the way that shame works, it kind of has this power over us. It starts with guilt. And that's what I love about that song we sang this morning, In Christ Alone. That last verse says, know what? No guilt. No guilt in life. No guilt in death. This is the power of Christ in me. And yet shame has this ability to make us feel guilty. You know, when I feel guilty, the next step for me is I feel inadequate. And so, for example, let's say that you and I had a conversation and I told you a lie. Well, then I would feel guilty. And then it makes me feel a little bit inadequate to talk to people about lying, right? How could I possibly try to press your heart to be a person of integrity if I just can't demonstrate that myself? And so we start hee-hawing around like, I'm just inadequate, I can't do anything. And before long, shame just renders me powerless. And that's the kind of ironic picture of shame. Shame has this power to make us powerless. It has this power to make us silent. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the opposite of this, what it looks like to be unashamed. Have you ever been embarrassed? Right? That can be part of being ashamed. You know, sometimes if you come from the wrong side of the tracks, you kind of don't want to talk about it maybe, depending on the crowd you're around. And so you may be ashamed of that. Maybe you don't. I'm not saying you should be or shouldn't be. I'm saying that's how we are sometimes. Maybe you've been ashamed at a certain article of clothing that was torn or it wasn't clean or something like that. You didn't want people to see it. You didn't want people to know this about your past, whatever. And shame often makes us embarrassed. And so we've got guilt, we've got inadequacy, we've got failure to do anything, we've got embarrassment, and all this sounds like the power of God at work in us, right? It's the exact opposite of that. And so we're going to talk today about being unashamed. Being unashamed. So Romans chapter 1 is where we're going to be. If you'd like to go ahead and turn there, we're going to be in verses 8 through 17. So the text is in your Bible. If you have a Bible, the text is on the wall. The text is also in your bulletin. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to get one for you that you could take home and you can mark up and you can write in it, you can highlight in it, you can put dates in it, whatever you want to do to it, own it, make it yours, right? Make it your landmark book that you continually go back to those different places where God has met you. But unashamed is what we're going to pursue here in Romans chapter 1. So the author of the book of Romans is a guy named Paul, all right? And Paul's writing to these believers here who are in the midst of some struggle. There's persecution going on. They're also living around a lot of people that don't believe. Okay? So they're like this small group of believers around a majority of people that don't believe. And this book is full of great truths, tons of them. But one of the initial ones here is this word about the power of God. So let's talk through here what it means to be unashamed and how that relates to the power of God. See, shame is something I bring on myself. Being unashamed, I need some assistance. It means I need somebody to take away my shame so therefore I can stand on somebody else's power. I can stand in somebody else's ability. And that's what we'll see here in Romans chapter 1, prayerfully. So beginning in verse 8, let's read. It says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. See, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so it is here today. We're going to try to break down specifically probably verses 15, 16, 17, looking at the power of God and how that reflects and works in us being unashamed. So three things we'll note today. If you'd like to follow along in your bulletin, you can. You don't have to. That's just there sometimes as a reminder. It helps us remember the more senses we engage. So maybe you'd like to write here this morning. First thing is this. The power of God is going to be something that's displayed. The power of God is displayed through the gospel of Jesus, is what we've just read. The power of God is displayed through the gospel of Jesus. So Paul begins this letter as he does so many of his letters, right? He writes and he says, hey, listen, I was a wreck and God met me and he called me to be an apostle. And so now I'm being sent out to preach to people about this great news of salvation in Christ. And Paul never stops being amazed at the wonder of Jesus. And how often do we pass across his name as though we could be saying screwdriver or asphalt? We say Jesus just like it's any ordinary name. Paul never got beyond the name of Jesus. In many of his writings, you'll read it and you think, well, this little love fest is out of place. It's because whenever he remembers what God has done for him, he just pens it. All right, and I pray that we'll just continue to be renewed in our love and desire, devotion for the Lord. Well, let's go back. We didn't read these first four verses, but you'll see what I'm talking about here as we think about the power being displayed through the gospel. Paul writes and says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, verse 2, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in what? In power. And the power is demonstrated by his resurrection. Okay? It was demonstrated by his resurrection here from the dead, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Paul is backing up this idea that there is power in the gospel by demonstrating the power of God from bringing Jesus back from the dead. So when you think about it, what's the worst enemy on this planet? Right? All sorts of terrorism and stuff going on these days, and so we may think of different groups, but to me there's one big overarching enemy that none of us can defeat. We've got Satan, we've got sin, we've got this power over us that renders us dead. Nothing on this planet trumps death. Nothing. Everybody dies. Right? And so in my book, that makes it the biggest. Nobody wins over death as far as physical things are concerned. However, in Christ, we will win. True? Right? So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying when we're dead, we're done, or we have no hope when we're dead. Absolutely not. I'm just saying in this physical world, none of us beat death. We all die. But for the believer, that death is simply the doorway to eternal bliss, right? To eternal joy and life with God and with his Son, with the Spirit, just fullness forever. And what a great opportunity and moment that's going to be for those who believe. But death has this thing of just having a hold on us. A lot of people are afraid of death. Are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of how you're going to die? All right. So everyone knows we're going to die. We're just kind of not sure how it's going to happen. I'm already calling dibs on a heart attack. I just feel like that's how I'm going to go. So if I'm no prophet, but if that's how it happens, so be it. Listen, I know for me, death is just simply the doorway. I've not been built to live here forever. My greatest joy and delight is not on this planet. It's in my God. And so I'm going to love his blessing here. I'm going to enjoy his abundance. But I'm looking forward to a better place and a better day. Right? And so that's what we're pressing towards here. So don't let fear of death get you down. Right? For one of it's all going to happen to all of us in one way or another. But the promise is, even through the valley of death, I'm going to walk with you. So I've got no reason to fear, no reason to worry. It's just the doorway to our God. So we see the power of God here demonstrated over death. That must have been a great celebration when they took the body of Jesus off the cross and put it in a tomb. I don't know if you've seen C.S. Lewis movies, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. If you've ever seen that movie where they sacrifice the lamb on the altar and they shed his blood and that lion dies, and they just have this massive dark party. You know, for a couple days there, Satan and all his little minions and demons must have just been celebrating like none other. But on that third day, what happens? We've got some power being displayed, don't we? All right? The power of God is on display. The one thing that we can't beat on this planet, God says, that's nothing for me. All right? I trump death. I defeat death. I win. And so because of our faith in him, then we also can win. We also have this life. We can be stained by the same resurrection power that brought Jesus from the dead. And Paul wrote about that elsewhere to the Corinthians. The same power that raised him is the same power that brings us life. So if you're a believer today, there is this spiritual awakening that's taken place in your life where before you were dead in your trespasses, you were dead in your sins. But in trusting in Jesus, you've been made alive. There's this active working spirit within those who believe. We are those who are saved. And if you're not saved today, we'll talk about that here for a little bit, but we'd love for you to receive Jesus. Everybody on the planet will do one of two things with Jesus. They both start with the letter R. They'll either receive him or they'll reject him. Everybody has to do something with Jesus, and that's why he's this big controversy on this planet and has been for a couple thousand years. I don't believe in him. All right, well, you got to do something with him, though. You can reject him, that's your choice, that's your free will. Or I can believe in him through his spirit and I can receive him. That's the choice for everybody on the planet. I was reading an article this morning about people who don't want Jesus, but they want the church. Because they want morality and they want circle of influence to teach people to do good. And I'm like, where do you get morality? Why would you ever want to be a part of that? I don't want Jesus, I just want religion. Listen, what you're doing in rejecting Jesus is you're rejecting life. You're rejecting the same power that brought Jesus back from the dead. And so Paul writes here and says, we are to be unashamed because there is power in the gospel. There is power in the gospel. It removes our shame, and it also is going to give us some confidence. And I pray we walk out of here with a little boost in our confidence, a little more pep in our step, not just because we've been inspired, but because God's word has really worked in us, and it's brought some power to us, all right? Power to do what we were created to do. All right, let's progress here. We've got to start where he begins, power in the gospel, but this power is going to do something in us. So secondly, this power of God is going to create some confidence in those who believe. The power of God is going to create confidence in those who believe. So how many of us could say we've been mistreated somewhere in our life? And that's probably to varying degrees, right? So on the playground, somebody took your kickball, wouldn't play with you. That's mistreatment, right? Somebody made fun of you because you have no hair and big nose, right? That's mistreatment. Paul writes about being treated like a bag of trash. I've never been treated that way, where somebody would want to leave me for dead, wrap me up in a bag, and put me in a dumpster for waste management to come pick me up and put me in a landfill. And Paul says, I've been treated like trash. Let's read it here. 1 Corinthians 4:13. He says, when we are slandered, we answer kindly. We've become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world right up to this moment. You know, when people treat us bad, we tend to want to have nothing to do with them anymore. When you don't listen to what I'm trying to say, I tend to not want to maybe tell that as much. And it happens with us in our faith. We love the Lord. We want to tell people about Jesus. And we start talking to people about the Lord and they shut it down. Well, that kind of brings us down. Maybe I'm going to think a little bit before I talk to anybody else about the Lord again. And maybe we work up some courage and we try it again and that person rejects us as well. It's like finally we get to the point where we just don't do anything. You know what happens? We get ashamed. We get ashamed of the gospel. We're not convinced of the power of God. And so Paul continued as the scum of the earth, as the garbage of this world, to tell people the good news about Jesus. You know what that is? That's being unashamed. That's being unashamed of the power of God. So treated like the scum of the earth, he's not embarrassed of the gospel. And he speaks about being unashamed often. He speaks about this often. We'll read a few of these here this morning. But listen, this is how you and I are to conduct life day to day. Right? We're sinners, but we're also people as believers who are saved. And we've got the remedy for our sin. Our guilt is gone. We've been freed from those shackles. And now we belong to God. We're part of His family. His Spirit lives in us. So I should no longer walk around as a beat down believer. Because I'm free. And you're free as well. So we need to let the shame go. We need to trust that with the Lord. And we need to receive this this reality of being unashamed here. But let's talk about Paul here for a minute. Some other scriptures he wrote that talk about having confidence or being unashamed in the gospel and in his God. Romans 10 verse 11 says, as scripture says, anyone who believes in him, that's Jesus, will never be what? Will never be put to shame. Anyone who believes in Jesus will never be put to shame. And so Paul's really trying to put this idea to rest. If you're a believer, let it go. Let it go and trust in the power of God in your own life and also what he can do for others. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not what? Hope does not put us to shame. This hope is in Jesus Christ because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through his Spirit who has been given to us. So hope doesn't put us to shame. Paul wrote to his little friend Tim, 2 Timothy 1:8, and he says, Tim, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as prisoner. Do not be ashamed of this testimony. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel. How? By the power of God. The way that we suffer, the way that we endure being unashamed is through the power of God. And so he's reminding Tim, it's going to be hard. People are going to reject. But your confidence is not in whether or not people receive and believe. Your confidence is in what you know to be true. Who is God? And so let it rest there. And then he goes on to write to Timothy and 4 or 5 verses later, 2 Timothy 1:12, that's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, my suffering, because I know whom I've believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. See, Paul had a confidence that he had been changed. And that changed wasn't just like a hairstyle or a new robe. That was from the inside out. He was a new man. Matter of fact, he was changed so much, he got a new name. We ought to start naming people differently. Right? You were once down in the dumps, and now you're joy. You were once a wreck, and now you're peace. You were once in misery, and now you're hope. And we should give people names that demonstrate what God has really done for us. And so here his name is changed to someone who has been changed. And he was changed by the power of God. And what Paul knew was this. He was convinced, if God can change me, what? He can change you. He can change anybody. How often do I put my God in a box? You are not big enough. Now, I don't say it in those words, but I don't tell somebody sometimes because I know their hard heart. And I think this person will never receive. It's a waste of my breath to talk to them about Jesus. I was reminded this morning, I'm in Jeremiah, and over again it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, just came in him, and all of a sudden he speaks and he says, nothing is too hard for God. So the next time that thought starts to creep up in you that my spouse, my kids, my neighbor, my friend, my coworker, my classmate, this total stranger I've just met is too hard for the Lord to reach, remind yourself, nothing is too hard for the Lord. We need to be unashamed of the gospel. I love that verse that we sang this morning in that third song. I believe in the Christ who was slain on the cross. I believe he has the power to change lives today. Why? For he changed me completely. Right? That's what's going on here. Paul was convinced by the power of God that if God could change me, a wretch, he could do it for anyone. That the power of God was available to reach all people. And so this had confidence. This built confidence within Paul. Verse 16 of Romans 1. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God. And this power of God brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. How often do we feel like we have to market the gospel right so someone will receive it? We need to advertise it in a certain way that makes it palatable to this generation, so then they will be open to receiving the truth about Jesus. You will find nowhere in the scriptures where it's our role to make it saucy, to make it taste well to people. When I try to do that, what I'm doing is withdrawing the power from the gospel and making it about my ability. And then I wonder why people reject. I wonder why they don't want what I'm selling, because it lacks the power of God. And so Paul makes clear, it's not about my speech. It's not about my words. I wouldn't dare empty the cross of its power. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Notice how he's to preach it. Not with wisdom, not with eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. And so it's not in us. It's not in how we market it. It's not in how we advertise it. And yes, we try to speak peacefully, and we try to speak in ways that are salty, right? The scripture says, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Let it be tasty. But ultimately, it's the working of the gospel. That's where the power resides. And that's what we're to share. 1 Corinthians 4:20, he writes and says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, Corey, but it's a matter of what? Power. The kingdom has power, not because I give it power. The kingdom has power, not because you make it better or we make it better. The kingdom had power before we ever got on board. And so we talk about and we preach and we proclaim and we share the gospel, because the gospel holds the power of God. What is the gospel? The gospel is this good news. It starts off by being bad news. Everybody on the planet is a sinner. And we've all admitted that. We've all said we have shame. We have shame because we sin. And so when we sin, we've separated ourselves from God. We've got this nature that has just done it from our birth. The result is, unless God intervenes, we will forever be separated from God. And that's why God gave Jesus. That's why we sing the songs we do today about the cross. Jesus was pure. Jesus was sinless. Jesus was nailed to a cross, shed his blood, died our death, so that God could, he could pay for sin. And when he looked at his son Jesus, he says, I'll take that payment. You ever been in line and had your debit card rejected? That's a terrible feeling, isn't it? You know there's money there, and it's just like, oh, and you look around like, you feel a little ashamed, right? See, when Jesus was resurrected, all that meant was that the card made it through. It was cleared, covered, paid in full. Now we can offer salvation to everyone who will believe. The gospel is, I'm a sinner, and God knew that. And so he gave his son Jesus to be my Savior, who lived, died, and was resurrected and ascended, so that in believing in him, I can have the same power at work in me to resurrect this dead soul. Maybe today you'd like to receive Jesus. He is the power of God. He is our gospel today. Paul was convinced of the power of the gospel, and therefore he was unashamed. He was unashamed. He knew full well what God did for him. God could certainly do for anybody on the planet. And so we've got this power of God, which is the gospel. We've got this power of God, which creates confidence in those who believe. And let's go one step further. The power of God makes us ready. It makes us ready to share the gospel with others. I don't know about you, but one of the things that just makes me unnerved is when I feel unprepared. Now, some people wing it well. I am not some people. If I have not prayed and studied and wrote and talked and read and listened, tried to just stand up here, you would get nothing. I could utter nothing. I would just be a wreck. What the gospel does, it makes us ready. It prepares us with what we need for this world. And so here we are hearing about the power of God. Here we are having confidence in our own spirit that we've been saved. And this confidence also makes us ready now to do our part in helping people on this planet know about Jesus. Think about it this way for a minute. Let's say that we were at a swimming pool and you see a little child who's struggling to swim, and they come up and they go under. And they come up and they go under, and they keep reaching for the edge of the pool and they just can't reach it. They're just too short and they can't get up high enough. How many of us have the power to help? How many of us would just stand there and go, oh, just keep trying. Oh, you didn't make it. No. We have power to do something. Where there's confidence in our ability, we would reach down and help. There's no shame where there's power. There's no shame where there's an ability. Right? No shame. What if we had a technology problem? It's often the case. And you were skilled in technology. You could diagnose the problem. You could resolve it. You could bring a solution for us. And so we're sitting here pulling our hair out. We're sitting here just a wreck. And you're like, oh, tough luck for you. No, where there's an ability, what is there? There's this confidence to help. Hey, maybe I can't do this, but I can help you. And so we willingly step up. There's no shame there. Right? Now, we don't boast and we don't brag, but where there's confidence in the power, confidence in the ability, we're all about it. We have no reason to not be about it. It would be the same way if somebody was struggling with a math problem and we knew the correct way to go about resolving the problem. We wouldn't just stand over their shoulder and go, no, that's not right. No, erase that. That's not right. I mean, we may allow them to work it out for a while, but ultimately we're going to help them. We're going to teach them. See, where there's a power or an ability to do something, there's no shame to help. And that's exactly what we see going on here with Paul. Now, he simply had confidence in the power of God, and it made him ready to act. So Paul's not playing lifeguard. Paul's not part of the geek squad. Paul's not giving proper instruction. He has full confidence in what God can do, and now he's just going to share it with anybody. He has full confidence in the power of God, and it makes him eager to share the gospel. Makes him eager, and I get that, man. I want to talk to people about the Lord, don't you? I want those opportunities for those conversations. I want to talk with somebody about power, real power that can change your life. Not about some religion and showing up at a building, you know, where we check off how many Sundays you're here and we give you a report that tells you how much money you gave. Those have their place, maybe. But it's really about loving Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus. It's about making him known. And so we want to work to that end. I want those opportunities. And so Paul says, I'm eager. Let's read it. Verse 15. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. One thing is for certain, where there is a lacking of confidence, we will not act. Where there is a lacking of confidence, it renders us powerless. And so you can work your way back through any of those scenarios. Hey, I'm building a couple beds here. Anybody got skill in building beds? Some of you do. Some of you are like me. I don't know. Try something. So there's no confidence there. Some of you show up with your tool belt on and go, get out of the way. Let me show you how to do it. All right? Because you have the ability. Where we lack confidence in the ability, we will not act. And so why do I not share my faith? It's not about me. It's because I'm not convinced that the gospel truly is the power of God. I haven't bought into that. Now, I'll sit in a room and say amen, but when it comes to that conversation over a lunchroom table, I'm thinking, he will not believe what I'm about to tell him. Makes us ashamed of the gospel. And so what I want you to hear today and what's been resonating in my own soul this week is you've got every reason to be unashamed because the power that brought Jesus from the dead, the power that changed Paul, is the same power that changed you. So don't limit your God thinking he's stuck on the words that you say. The power's in the gospel, baby. Share the gospel. Tell the story. Let them hear the truth. Let it ring. And then you'll begin to see life change. Some will reject, absolutely. If they rejected Jesus, the author of salvation, they're going to reject us. He told us so. But some believed. And so go forward with confidence. God confidence. And the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And when I believe, when I'm convinced, I'll walk out of here unashamed. You can spit in my face. You can reject this truth. You can mistreat me and my family. But you cannot minimize the power of the gospel. We should never be lacking confidence in the God who has changed us and his ability to demonstrate that in other people's lives. There is a power, and this power belongs to God, and for whatever reason, he's established this power in his word. Paul writes elsewhere in Romans and he says, faith comes by hearing. And what is it that we're hearing? It's the Word of God. And so that's why we know it. That's why we grow in it. And that's what we're going to tell. Be convinced this morning, not because a guy stands here and says so. Look at the text. Trust the Lord. The same God who has done this throughout countless lives in Scripture, throughout countless lives in history, is the same God who's done it in your life, and He now wants to use your life to help other people know about His power as well. And so we've tried to talk about confidence a little bit here. Where there's shame, there's no confidence. Where I'm unashamed is in the confidence or the ability that something can actually get done. And when it comes to the power of God, I have full confidence. Therefore, we should share the gospel without shame. That doesn't mean that we throw it at people, right? That doesn't mean that we shout it from the rooftops. Doesn't mean that we minimize their soul. There's a way to go about all these sorts of things. But ultimately, the power is in the Word of God. So where there's shame, we'll be silent. Where there's shame, there will be no confidence. And where there's shame, I will shun opportunity. I'll never even pray about it because I just don't think it'll work when the moment comes. We've seen the power of God here in action. God raised Jesus from the dead. Not one of us can complete that sort of act. We've listened as Paul's kind of shared his own confidence and how God worked in his life. We've sung about that even here this morning. And we've seen that these two, when they combine, they create such an eagerness in us to talk about the gospel with other people. Because I believe it's the power of God. TV stations, blogs, websites are full right now of faith is phony. God's not real. So what does that do to you? Do you walk away ashamed? Do you think, I just don't want to speak up? People are getting brutally beaten, hurt because of their faith. Do you think, I'm just not going to say anything anymore? Or do you have confidence in the power of God? I just pray God continues to teach us what it looks like to really live unashamed of His gospel. It truly is the power of God to save everyone who believes. And what I simply wonder today initially is this. Maybe you've never believed in the gospel. Maybe you've never really believed that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. We're all sinners, and we can prove that. How many of us have lied? Survey says, however many are in the room. All right? And what we say is, if you say not me, there's your first one. Really, your second one. And probably your 2 millionth one. We have a way of losing that battle. But God says, even in your sinfulness, I've given you a Savior. And even though you've rejected me up to this point, I delight in you. I want to save you. And so maybe today you'd like to receive Jesus. Believing in Him, I am a sinner and I'm asking you today, Jesus, please save me. The Bible teaches, Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so maybe today in prayer you'd like to call out and say, God, save me. Just save me from my sins. Fill me with your Spirit. Or just give me this kind of confidence. Give me this peace. Give me this hope. I want everything that's offered me through your Son, Jesus. Maybe today you'd like to do that. Or maybe today you just find yourself struggling with your confidence. Right? Where do we get our confidence? It's not in our ability. It's in our God. And our God has all power. Right? We read this last week in Corinthians. He has all power to make everything that's His flow to us in our time of need so that we can do every good work the way that He wants it to get done. We will lack nothing. Nothing is too hard for God.